You know, Francis, I would say the first half of the decade, that was more the case. I think we would characterize the M&A environment as being one where companies were trying to get critical mass to be competitive to go after larger contracts. But over the last 3 to 4 years, we would characterize it as much more strategic and tuck-in in nature. So companies now are focusing less on whether it's adding revenue to the top line and the bottom and earnings to the bottom line, as compared to being focused on making sure that it's strategically positioning them to be well positioned for attracting new business and customers where they believe budgets are going to be strong stronger in the future. I don't know that anybody's budget in this environment is going to look extremely strong, but
yeah.
There are segments of the marketplace, such as cybersecurity and sections of defense technology, the intelligence community, healthcare, C4ISR, are examples of spots where the budgets are expected to be stronger, and therefore buyers are seeking to add capabilities, intellectual property, products that allow them to be more competitive and win contracts in those types of spaces.
I can understand all of those areas being hot, being potential opportunities for growth, but if I've met one person from a cybersecurity company in the last 2 years, I've met 500 of them, it seems like. At what point does it become kind of a point of diminishing returns when you're the 50th or 60th player in a particular space in the market, as opposed to an area that maybe isn't growing as fast, but also isn't attracting as many competitors and isn't prompting as many people to try to move into the space and start from scratch?
Mm. Well, I guess that's the strategic question. Do you want to allocate resources to a rapidly growing marketplace where you're going to have a much more competitive environment, or do you want to be in a slower growing space where you may hopefully have fewer competitors? I think in most of those sectors there are a lot of competitors, so you're not going to find a situation where you aren't competing with a lot of folks. But in an environment like cybersecurity, where it's growing so rapidly in the marketplace, if you can position yourself to provide more capabilities, more highly talented people, because they're very difficult to come by, particularly those that have the proper clearances to work in some of the agencies that are out there, I think there's a race to try to get critical mass in that space, because the budgets for cybersecurity and the expected future increases in spending in cybersecurity, with all the different events that have been occurring around the world, both in the commercial space as well as the government space, have made this a huge priority. And to be a leader in that space, despite the level of competition, means you're going to be doing very well for quite some time. So that's why people are so active in participating in M&A transactions for cybersecurity companies.
Your piece in Washington Technology is headlined Intellectual Property Rules in Today's Market. We have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You wrap it up by writing, remember, when it comes to marketing technology companies, the five P's of marketing should mean proper preparation promotes premium pricing. Break that down for me.
Well, what we mean by that is when we prepare a company to go into the market for sale, whether IP is involved or not involved, it's still critically important. But what we're looking to do with that is to, particularly with technology companies, they tend to be growing more rapidly than others, and they have more scalability than others. So in preparing a company for sale in this marketplace, Francis, one has to or should be well advised to really focus in heavily on what they can do, what the growth opportunities for that particular company are, and do a great job of presenting a case that can be broken down financially about how the scaling of that business can translate into phenomenal returns for investors. And that can be said for any type of business, but for one that's still in its early stages of reaching its full capacity, it becomes a little bit more challenging of an exercise, because there's less certainty as to how that might happen. You need to reflect the potential path for those prospective buyers and how that is going to develop into the future, and also assist them in thinking through the different potential buyers and the synergies that might be had by combining with those buyers. And those synergies oftentimes differ from one prospective buyer to another. So thinking that through on the front end before jumping into the market is critically important to maximizing value for those types of companies.